Don't panic. Surviving your kid's sexuality.
Don't panic.
Don't panic.
Nobody move. Nobody gets hurt. Surviving your kid's sexuality.
Yes. So then, here's one. Sex ed, not a Christian show.
Well, too literal. Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
All right, cool. So we're here in the Hey You Know It studio. We're really excited to have a really good friend of mine, Rebecca. She is a veteran in the sex industry. She is a sex educator for adults and for children. And she's also a lube salesperson.
Yes. Welcome to
Welcome to Hey You Know It.
Studio.
And she's a fan.
And I'm a fan. You should have led with that.
Yeah, that's the important stuff, is that she's also a fan.
I'm also a fan.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. I know that you have a podcast that you're going to be working on soon, and that's actually part of the reason why she's here, to talk a little bit about her podcast.
Yep, I got to pitch my thing. The podcast. Well, I decided that this world is really fucked up.
Yeah.
I think everybody can agree with me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is that a new thing for you?
It was a revelation.
Yes.
No, it was a dawning realization. How about that? And I realized that a huge part of the reason, and I have lots of proof, and I won't pull it out because I'm not drunk enough.
Mm-hmm.
Is that
also this is a family studio?
Yes, exactly.
And also, we're women. We don't have to. Your word is.
We believe
enough.
You.
We believe you did the work.
We don't need your stats.
We don't need the pie charts.
Yeah.
And
testimony from 50 other people saying the same thing. We believe you.
Thank you, ladies. Thank you, and the Google on my phone thanks you as well. Well, the idea was, I realized that a lot of the violence in the world today that we see. Be it from rape, be it from war, be it from these guys going into churches and shooting people, tons of that violence is linked to repressed sexual rage.
Okay.
I mean, a lot. And if you look at, for example, just I would say terrorists, because that's the thing that we're not saying, all of the terrorist attacks in the United States that include somebody going into a place with a gun and shooting a whole bunch of people, almost every single one of them, when you look at their stuff on Facebook or the notes that they left behind, it almost always says, "I'm not getting any."
Okay.
And
that's interesting.
It's true.
I don't doubt it.
No, it's completely true. And they're angry at women, usually, but not always. Sometimes they're angry at men because they're not getting any sex,
mm-hmm.
or they feel misunderstood in their sexuality or something like that.
So they're missing the physical stuff, but probably intimacy as well.
I think a lot of it is also they're missing intimacy. And also just an understanding that sex is not something that they deserve to get just because they exist. That it's, you know, something that's going on. But why aren't these guys getting sex?
But one thing, to clarify the word intimacy and the definition of sex, I've heard men use them interchangeably. Like, I want some intimacy. They're talking about sex.
Yeah,
they're totally different.
Yeah. I was actually working with a sex expert on this idea of trying to define, like, when, you know, a woman sometimes says intimacy, a guy hears sex. And when a guy says sex, a guy hears sex.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know what I mean? But they're two completely different things.
Completely different things. And actually, this is something else I wanted. It's in my notes. I have notes. By the way, I came prepared.
Love it.
Something else I wanted to talk about after all of this is the ideas of one of the big problems that men have these days is a lack of intimacy.
Oh,
in
yeah.
their lives. And I'm talking about just being held or holding someone, being gentle and sweet and just touch, no cock in vagina action at all, not even blowjobs.
You guys missed the hand signal for that.
It was very graphic.
Yeah. Two fists meeting each other in a very unfriendly way.
So they're missing intimacy, they're missing sex, and I was like, why aren't these guys getting sex? And why do they feel they deserve sex? These are two similar problems that have, for me, their root is in the same problem in our culture, and that is that in our culture, we are, in general, really uncomfortable with sex.
Yeah.
And anybody who likes sex, especially if it's a girl, is considered a slut. But even guys, if they sleep around or seem badly, People don't talk about sex. Guys grow up watching movies where everybody is having sex all the time. And if you look at porn, it's like ridiculous.
Yeah.
You walk down the street, you bend over, and somebody
and you get laid.
You get laid.
I didn't think about that. So young men are seeing a lot of sex happening, and they're like, where is this going on? Right. I'm not having it.
There's a lot of that street harassment porn that goes on, where somebody follows a woman down the street and says stuff.
And then she gets a beach.
Yeah.
That's so fucked up.
That's so crazy.
I thought I knew everything. I didn't even know about that shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So what is it?
I think they call it like pickup, if you ever want to see it.
But it's a setup. It's an actress and an actor. Yeah, yeah. But the scenario is that...
They follow the girl and say things like, you're pretty, look at that skirt. And she's like, leave me alone, whatever.
But then she capitulates.
Yeah, then they get to like...
This is awful. That does not happen.
It never happens. Never happens. Any man who's listening right now,
will know that that doesn't happen.
Never happen to you or anyone you know. And if they say it does, they're lying.
They're lying.
Yeah. Yes.
It doesn't happen.
Well, that's a part of it. The reality that porn is fiction.
Yeah. Yeah.
In many, many different ways. It is a full-on fictional piece of film, just as when you're watching Tom Cruise do these ridiculous things. On film. That is also fiction.
He's playing a full-size man. Fiction.
Yeah. He plays Jack Reacher. Oh, my God.
Fiction.
Yes, fiction.
Yes.
It's like, let's face it, it's all fiction. Well, porn is just as much fiction. Nobody has anal that fast. Just putting it out there. When, you know, things like this. So I realize that is a big part of the problem. And another part of the problem is that women do not feel free to have sex with people.
Right.
Yeah.
They don't feel free.
It's a risk.
It's a risk.
The whole thing is a risk.
The
moment you go out there as a woman with that idea in your mind that you're going to meet somebody, you open yourself up to a whole world of just horrors.
Yeah.
Or good things.
Yeah.
But, you know, mostly horrors.
Mostly horrors. Yeah. I mean, you were talking about STDs because somebody doesn't want to wear a condom.
Yeah.
Pregnancy and then you can't get an abortion because these are, like, growing concerns. Or how about you just don't have an orgasm? It could be that simple.
Yeah.
Or the person treats you like an asshole afterwards or tells everybody and then everybody else treats you like an asshole. I mean, there's tons of things. There are a lot of women out there who want to have sex a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, but the thing is that the risks are just too large, so they'd rather masturbate.
I guess I didn't think about it. If you're a young woman and you really would like to sleep around the lot, you can't.
Yeah.
You got to keep it moving. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you have to have a wide circle.
And in this day and age, you also run the risk of somebody recording it.
Yes.
Without you knowing it, putting it online.
And revenge porn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or just
telling everybody.
Being an asshole.
Yeah.
Right.
So, you know? I mean, so basically, this is the world we're living in right now in the United States and in other countries as well. But I'm going to just concentrate on the United States.
I'm glad I'm old.
Who can get involved? Yeah.
I know. I hate to say that.
It's tough being a young person.
It is. And can you imagine the mistakes that I made around, you know, sexuality when I was younger? Nobody even had a regular camera. And even if they did, unless it was a Polaroid, they couldn't get it printed anywhere. Yeah.
Yes.
Because the photo hut would be like, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Right? It would totally be.
Yes.
Completely.
Plus, then, we knew the people in the photo hut.
Or maybe somebody would print it for them, and then there was like two copies of the photo running around.
Yes.
And then eventually they'd get lost, or somebody would...
If you could get a hold of a photo of like your boob or something when we were 13 and you destroyed it, that's it. It's gone.
Mm-hmm. It's gone.
That now there's infinite copies of it.
And even if they're not... specifically wanting to get revenge on you.
Yeah, if you just want to get rid of it.
Sometimes the guy won't misplace it.
Yeah.
And then it ends up like, I think it was my brother had, I found a box in the attic. Hello.
Everyone has a brother story like that.
And left some old photos of somebody from years and years ago. And
yeah.
I'm just like, I'm not giving them back to you if you're so irresponsible that you just leave them in a box.
It happened to an ex of mine.
House?
I was helping an ex move and the same thing happened. I opened it up. It was like tons of pictures. Nothing wrong with them. They were consensual.
No, they're all consensual.
But it's
they're
like now that woman doesn't know where her photographs are.
Yeah.
Like she forgot about them or she assumed that they were destroyed.
Just floating around.
And now, even worse, they could just stick your head on somebody else's body and be like, boom.
Yeah.
It's so easy to do.
Yes.
I mean, my kids could do it.
Yeah.
They're that good at Photoshop.
It's anyone could do it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, it's a tough world to be in. Even if we don't want to talk about the nudity and the sexy stuff, just photos. All the times that I puked, that someone could have taken my picture and said, I had too much to drink.
Yeah.
I mean, like, literally, we're talking in the hundreds of times.
Yeah.
And there's no photos out there of that.
Yeah. All the stuff you did in college or that we did in college, you know, you think about it, there's no photographs of that.
Yeah.
No one holding your hair back. There's no photographs of you just peeled out.
Run for president.
Yes.
Yeah.
One shoe off, you know, that kind of thing, like shuffling down the street.
Exactly.
No photos of that.
How did you make it home?
Thank goodness.
So, yeah, you have this technology, but now we're talking about the emotions, this emotional cycle that, you know, men have not developed, I guess, in the past however many years.
Millennia.
I mean,
lay it on us.
Yeah, I think what
sexpert
basically. Oh, the pressure.
Yeah.
I think basically what we can count on, and it's not just men; it's women too. Okay, how many senators have been caught after putting out hugely homophobic legislation?
Yeah, get caught in the bathroom.
Get caught in the bathroom with some young twink.
Yeah.
Okay. How many? It's like ridiculous now. We're in the double digits.
You kind of expect it when someone in a high position in politics comes out with an anti that you, it's like, you know, you've done it.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's that kind of thing.
It's that kind of thing. But the point is this, that shouldn't be happening. That shouldn't be happening. All of these guys should be comfortable enough with their own sexuality that even if they're married to a woman and they're hiding it, they don't feel the need to launch like these major anti-bathroom transsexual crusades because secretly they like to dress up in women's clothing.
Yeah.
You know, this is...
That's the worst way to cover up what you're doing.
Oh, yeah. You're so stupid.
It's like, I'm going to start an anti-smoking campaign because I love to smoke.
Yeah.
You know, and I hope no one catches me smoking.
But the point is that they're so scared of who they are that they actually go in the opposite direction. And that's really messed up. So I've realized that all these adults, they're messed up.
Yeah.
There's really no helping them at this point.
Oh, Jesus.
You know?
So the uncle or the grandfather at the dinner table on Thanksgiving.
It's just too late.
It's too late.
It's too late for
him. What do you do with them?
You drink. And
you protect yourself.
Yeah, and you don't leave your kids alone with them if it's that kind of an uncle.
Yeah.
You tell other people. I believe in communication.
Yeah.
You know, I have an uncle like that.
Yeah.
But he's not, let's not get into that.
Okay. I think we all have
we all have family members.
Who has got something going on.
Who you shouldn't leave yourself alone with or children alone with.
Yeah.
Or pets alone with.
Or pets.
Or your wallet or, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, or something. But so communicate, you know what I mean? There's no harm in communication. But my personal crusade, as I said, the kids are not a lost cause.
Okay.
We can hit the kids. You know what I mean? We can make sure that they understand sexuality, they understand their own sexuality, and they understand that it is okay for them to be sexual and to be safe and to talk to them. And so I want to do this podcast about how to talk to your kids because so many parents, they just don't want to go there. They're embarrassed. Because we're talking about messed up people. Usually most of them sexually have still quite a few hang-ups, even the cool ones, about their own sexuality. And so having to talk to
the cool ones.
Yeah.
Even the cool ones.
I mean, it's one thing to be cool with your sexuality. It's another thing to be able to discuss it with a child.
Yes.
Your child.
Right.
Like, or anyone, really, you know.
It's hard, especially because we are talking about children. I'm not just talking about your kid when they come out of your womb. They're already a sensual being. They already have a penis or a vagina, and they already, as soon as they can touch it, they love touching it.
Yeah, anyone who's worked with children.
Right, they're always.
It's like, leave it alone.
Yeah.
You're killing it. Like, give it a rest.
But they love it. And so it's important that those first moments.
Well, it feels good, and they're
going to
feel
like,
oh. And yet, when I say that they are sexual beings and sensual beings, that doesn't mean they should be having sex.
Yeah.
A totally different thing. But the reality is that you have to treat them with some respect to their future sexuality by not scaring the crap out of them when something does happen, like they walk into the brunch you're having with your boss with their hand down their pants, you know, and that's not the moment to freak out on them or whatever. And it's important to make sure that those first crazy moments when weirdness pops up.
You don't traumatize your
kids. You don't traumatize your kids.
Yeah.
And it's also important to admit to yourself that when they're 14 and 15 years old and they spend their entire goddamn day in their room with the door closed, that yes, they are masturbating.
I know this is a problem for a lot of friends of mine who have kids that are particularly boys that are getting to that age.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I'm like, please don't traumatize them.
Yeah.
Don't knock on the bathroom door, make a lot of noise before you go in.
Yes.
Tell, you know, like, but tell them not to use shampoo.
Yeah.
And so, like, cut them some slack. Don't hurt when you go into their room to, like, clean up or whatever. Just know that there's going to be stuff in there.
And it's going to be gross. And yes. it's not the moment to be like,
to freak them
what
out.
Are you doing in your room all the time? You know, you don't have to, like,
people
do it, and then people decide, especially about boys, to ignore it completely as though it's not happening.
I've heard some horror stories from boys, like from men our age, if you talk to them about what it was like when they were teens, like trying to even just get one, not even a Playboy, just like one page of a Playboy.
Right.
And someone was telling me that they had a friend who used to draw boobs and sell them. Like they were so desperate to see anything. Like they would be Montgomery Ward's catalog, like anything, then Victoria's Secret catalog. Like they're just desperate. They're terrified. They're ashamed. For girls, it's even worse.
Yeah.
I mean, the lengths we had to go through to find one Playgirl magazine.
Oh, my God. Oh,
and
God,
how disappointing.
And they were there were
puppies in front of it.
And you look at... No, but also, like, they're all clearly gay guys.
Yeah.
And you're like, well,
you're like, who are these guys?
Like anything, like, I want to be having sex with.
Yeah.
First of all, no hair. Where's the hair?
The hair is gone.
Yeah. And it's also Austin Powers style. There's always something in front of them.
Yes.
A lamp.
No.
Do you know what I mean? Like, a fan, anything.
Yeah.
So, who are you aiming your podcast towards?
Towards parents.
Okay, parents of who have children of all ages?
All ages.
Okay.
Seriously, parents who have children of all ages, even if they're babies, you should listen to my podcast because it'll help you. You know, sometimes you need time to prepare.
Oh, they turned six. They turned seven now. Time to talk about.
No, it'll come
get
up.
Get ready. Yeah.
You have to be ready for your 3 or 4 year old to come home and be like, you know, Mom, what's a penis?
Right.
And you have to be able to say, and you should be calm and talk about what a penis is and be like, well, you know, boys have it and it's a thing that you use to make babies. And
you know, a friend of mine who has a 1 year old was telling me she was concerned because her 1 year old, other people were teaching their kids instead of saying vagina, like hoo-ha or something.
Yeah, see,
and she's like, I don't want my kids saying that. Because if the kid needs to explain something to you about what's going on with them, you want them to be able to use the correct terminology. And also, what the fuck is a hoo-ha?
Yeah.
Somebody else, there was some other adult that got in trouble for telling their child the proper names of the genitals because they said, the teacher said it wasn't age appropriate. It was too early for them
What should they say?
That's bullshit.
They should say pee-pee or...
No, and also, all, there are now serious scientific studies that show, behavioral studies that show, that children who do not know the correct names for parts of their bodies associate those parts of the bodies with shame, you know, and then they are easier, in fact, to molest.
Because they don't know. This is what I'm saying. Yes. If you don't know how to talk about yourself and explain what's going on and understand
and when people
your body.
Say, we don't call it a vagina. We call it a pee-pee or a hoo-ha or a wee-wee or a po-po or whatever the hell little stupid thing.
That's what we call the cops, the po-po. The po-po's coming. That's a whole different meaning.
Sure is.
But if you don't use those words, when you have funky words for it, it means it's a shameful thing. So then when somebody touches you in your shameful place, you don't want to talk about it because then you have to talk about something that's shameful. It's a whole cycle. And I didn't make this stuff up.
My experiences, like when we were kids, we definitely thought it was shameful. And if you said the real word, like penis, you had to whisper it as if you were, you know, a white person saying African American. You know what I mean? Like you had to like say it quietly.
It's like the bathing suit area.
Yes.
And that's what
we would call your privacy.
Your privates.
Your privacy. Which is, I'm like.
It's not only, it's incorrect English even.
It's just the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, the privacy.
I mean,
or your
privacy.
Kit Kat. They were like, you got to wash your cat. I'm like, that doesn't sound right to me, but I'll do
your
it.
Kit Kat.
Yeah, your Kit Kat or your
that's
cat.
That's so weird.
Your kitty cat, yeah.
It's always private parts.
Private parts. I mean, that doesn't even sound fun.
Where did you grow up? I was in the Midwest.
It was in the suburbs of New Jersey.
Oh, okay. I was in Indiana.
And you said private parts?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
And that meant vagina and penis. Yes. Breasts as well or not breasts?
Yeah, breasts only on girls, but yes. Okay. And it was like completely... And even at one point,
pits.
Armpits.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
No.
Oh, way back in the day.
Don't show your armpits to people.
You could not be shown.
Because they're in a erogenous zone, and adults don't want to tell you that.
Oh.
I guess they're afraid that you're going to be, I don't know, scratching your armpit all day. I don't know.
I mean, I only find other people's erogenous zones sexy.
I don't see my own armpit.
Other people's armpits
as a place to be.
Yeah,
you know.
It was.
Yeah.
I learned it was avoided because it stunk. That's all.
Just stay away from it.
Stay away from the armpit. It's a stinky place.
I like that.
What is the format of your podcast going to be? Are you going to have parents on?
No, it's going to be all me. Solo. I'm a Leo.
Okay.
I can't share.
Okay. I did not know that.
It's, yep. How did you not know? I might as well wear a
I don't
t-shirt.
Know. I'm a Cancer.
Oh, goodness. Well, that's why we get along.
Maybe. Yeah. Okay. Right. What sign are you?
I'm a Capricorn. I don't know. Sagittarius rising.
We never have your birthday at the same time because of storms.
And you're always away.
Yeah, I'm always away.
Yeah.
Anyway, so
she says, we'll go out.
We'll figure something out, and then we do.
Yeah.
Well. So we figure that out. Anyway, so you're doing your Leo.
I wanted to see.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do it by myself. So the first, right now, I've written up two different ones, and mostly it was because of popular demand.
Okay.
The very first one.
The people demanded it.
Yeah, the people demanded it. The very first one was very personal. So my mom's a lesbian. Mm-hmm. I was raised by a lesbian. She realized she was a lesbian when I turned 8. She got seduced by this woman.
All right.
That's how it goes.
Yeah.
The head of film studies at Indiana University.
That's a sexy story.
Yeah. I won't say her name. So anyway, so I was raised by a lesbian, and I was having a business lunch with a woman that I know who is a lesbian, and she is in a beautiful relationship. She's married, and they have a daughter that they had together, and they went through, I don't know, 4 years, I think, of hell trying to get her adoption. Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
Trying to get her adopted so she was also a legal parent to this child.
I was surprised that I thought France was a lot more progressive, but
no.
I guess not.
Hello, hugely Catholic country.
Okay.
Despite everything. So it was a really hard and long thing for them.
So it's that duality of France. It's more like they have that in on the side, because that's our impression as Americans.
Well, they put it out there like that. They pretend like religion is not a part of their identity.
Their marketing is very
strong. And they're trying to but they're capping down on other people's religious identity and expression. Meanwhile.
Yeah.
Well, there's a fight against this, I would say, fundamentalist Christian element.
Okay.
In France, there is a fight against
to remove it from legislature and stuff
exactly.
like that.
Yeah, exactly. And so they have gay marriage, for example. That was a huge battle. We all marched in the streets for that. And they're trying to, you know, now she can adopt.
But
it was a long and arduous process where they had to deal with, like, cops showing up at their house and saying, so who's the man in the relationship and things like that, you know.
Who's the man?
Yes.
The idea that anyone of our generation would ask a question like that.
No, pretty disgusting.
Yeah.
So,
who's the man? Oh, we're both, me.
Yeah.
You know, all of us.
I guess it's
you. You were the man. I don't know. You pick. You know.
Today it's me, but next week it might be her. Depends on the time
so
of the month.
So crazy.
Jeez. Totally crazy. So it was a bad time. So we're having lunch, and it's a business lunch, and I happened to just mention that my mom was gay. And I had never mentioned it. I don't know why. Maybe because I don't.
Because it doesn't matter to you.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't.
It's not an everyday thing. It's like, I would say my mom is straight.
Why would you say that?
Hi, yeah. I'll have a coffee. My mom is straight. I mean, nobody.
So
we're sitting there. Business. I can't say this enough. Business lunch. Okay. She's one of my clients. And we're sitting there. And we're having lunch. And we're discussing volume. Or I don't even know what. And I have to mention.
You know.
Business
circumference.
Style. How much lube would you like?
No. Okay. Okay.
So we're sitting there. And I happen to mention my mom, and she, I kid you not, bursts into tears and starts crying uncontrollable crying jag and totally freaking out and being like, why didn't you tell me this before? And you seem totally fine. You've never had any troubles. And I was like, what? What are you talking about? She was so scared that they were messing up their child because they were not a man and a woman raising this kid. And that her kid, because of lack of male influence, whereas they have tons of gay male friends, okay?
Yeah. Yeah. Because and they live in the world.
And they live in the world. Yeah. And this kid's going to have teachers and, you know, everything like this. Lots of men in her life. I mean, it's just complete. So she, and I realized that there is so much nasty propaganda out there that even the people who are living it realize are scared. And they're worried and everything like this. And I couldn't believe it. It's so sad, but it blew me away. And I said, well, damn it, if she's like this, a very strong woman, you know, who I think is a great parent, her kid is amazing.
In a stable relationship. Right. This is the thing.
Stable relationship.
Because everyone who's been raised by a man and a woman is totally fine.
Oh, right. Totally. Oh,
totally fine.
No, they got never, it together.
No problems. Oh, no problems whatsoever. That's crazy.
It's crazy. So I decided I would do like a little public service announcement about that.
Okay.
Just to make sure everybody.
Parents gay, you'll be okay.
Exactly. Actually, can I write that down? Yeah. That's pretty good. Parents gay.
It's funny to me that two women would be concerned. Okay. I could see two men being concerned. Right. Not that I think they should be. But I could see two men thinking like, oh, doesn't one of us have to have a maternal instinct? You know, a lot of women don't.
Yes.
You know, don't give me a kid. You know what I'm saying? Right.
But I think what it is that when you have kids, you are so worried all the time that you're fucking up.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, you are constantly worried that you're screwing things up, that the last time you screamed at your kid, now they're screwed up forever, you know, and you're just constantly worried. That I think that can easily translate into a part of the worry.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just wanted to have, you know, every single statistic that shows that children of gay parents are messed up in some way is bullshit. They're all skewed studies, every single one. Whether you have gay or straight parents, your kids have just as much of a chance of being a total idiot or being wonderful as anybody else.
You have the same chance.
You're the same chance. It really makes no difference whatsoever. Yeah. So
your sexuality does not influence your kid is going
to turn. I mean, I know just from my experience of going to Sarah Lawrence's, Rebecca and I went to Sarah Lawrence together, and meeting people from much more diverse backgrounds than I was used to. Yeah, I didn't see any difference. I thought there would be because that's what I was told. I thought that, you know, meeting people who had parents who were gay, they would be different in some way or better, I actually thought. But I was like, no, they're the same schmuck as everybody else.
The same.
Yeah.
Exactly the same.
It's like the first time you realize that you know, drag queens weren't all nice.
Yes.
And gay people weren't all nice.
Right. Yes.
And, you know, it's just, asshole comes in every flavor.
Yeah. Asshole wings and everything.
Let me write that down. Yes. Because I could use that for the lube.
We have to talk about your career
in the lube world.
Yeah. Lube arts.
Yes. Lube arts. I like that.
The lube arts.
I like that. Not lube.
Katie always finds a way to elevate it.
Yes.
No matter what it is.
Sure.
Well,
so you did this as a written piece or as a podcast?
I'm going to do it as a podcast. Okay. It'll be a short one. Mm-hmm. As I said, it's like a public service announcement.
Okay.
Just stick it out there. And then the big first episode I'm doing. So basically, it's hard to format. I went through like 50 formats. But I'm going to do...
You're talking to pros here.
I know.
Yeah. We've been... How many episodes do we have? We have that many formats.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I think that it's going to be a little bit like that, too. I feel like every kind of conversation deserves its own thing. So I'm going to do one about, you think your kid is gay.
Okay.
It's a really good one that I can then refer back to another one. I'm going to do one about talking to your teen girl, talking to your teen boy. I'm going to do one about worst case scenarios. And... You know, yes.
Worst case scenarios.
What would that be?
Yes, you got to give us a preview. Yeah. You can't just throw that out there.
Well, how about like you walk in on your kid jacking off?
That's the worst case scenario?
No. Okay. It's like stair steps.
Okay.
You start off with like you walk in on your kid looking at themselves naked in the mirror.
Okay.
And then you go up to, you walk in on your kid having anal sex with an older person.
Okay. Well, there you go.
So, all right. You know what I mean? So it goes
up. A lot of steps there. It's a couple
of
three, four stories.
Yeah, exactly.
Worth of
you think that it's like, what about the lock on the door? Right? Yes. That all could be changed.
That could change everything.
In my house, there's no locks.
Oh, that's right, because you're it's an older.
I don't know.
Yeah, but also that's not the thing. That's not the idea to lock the door.
And also, you know.
And avoid that first scenario.
Yeah.
But it's weird things like this. So we'll do the stair step and we'll go up to it. I think it's important. I did my research. there are tons of blogs about sex out there. A ton, like podcasts about sex. Mm-hmm. But they're all either sexy, like, you know, pornographic.
Yeah, we're not sexy. Yeah, no.
They're for adults by adults. Mm-hmm. Yes, you guys are sexy.
But you know what I mean. Our podcast is not, you know.
No.
It's not a sexy thing.
It's not sensual.
Yeah. Like if they put us. That's fine. If they put us in the sexy category, we probably get kicked out immediately. Yeah. You know, they're like, everyone dried up and went home. It's not a sensual podcast.
It's not, but they have fun. But, well, the adult ones that are like, you know, which you guys could be in the adult category a little bit. They're
the content is mature.
The content is mature. Yes, I agree. Yes. Just for the swearing.
Yeah.
You guys get into. No, but there's like these adult ones that are like, you know, a bunch of women talking about, you know,
what
sex,
you can do. Yeah.
A bunch of bros talking about sex. There's this English guy.
A bunch of bros talking about sex?
Yes.
I got to listen to at least one of these. Yeah.
Just look it up. Like, bros and sex podcast. And you'll like, there's at least four.
Are they good? Are they giving good bro? Is it like, you know, bros giving other bros good advice?
Or is it bro advice?
Yeah. Or is
it might
like,
be bro advice.
I would love it if it were like people who know a lot about sexuality and happen to be bros.
Okay.
Kind of putting good information out there, but it's probably not.
The one I listened to, three minutes of, which was already perhaps too much, was really bad.
Okay.
And it was just a lot of, like, I want to be Howard Stern, but I'm not Howard Stern, and, you know.
So not informative, not funny.
No, and I don't listen to Howard Stern either.
I don't either. Like, but you know. I have people constantly coming up to me, like, turning around and thinking that they're going to see Robin.
Oh.
When they hear my voice. It happened to me in Las Vegas.
Robin Quivers. They think you're her.
I went up to the counter and the woman was doing something and I said, hi, I'd like to book a spa appointment. She was like, oh my God. And then she saw me. She was like,
oh.
I'm like, yeah, you thought I was Robin Quivers, didn't you? I've never listened to it.
I've never listened to it too much either.
Have you heard?
Years ago, as a teenager or something, I listened. I did not like it. I don't listen. Where I came from, people listened, and they were like, why don't you listen? He's so funny. And they thought I wasn't
funny. There was pressure.
They were like, you don't have a sense of humor because you don't like Howard Stern. And I was like, no, he's just awful.
Yeah.
It's awful.
And so many of his jokes are like inside jokes now to the people who listen to him all the
time. Oh, so you can't even start now.
So you can't even like get into it, I feel like.
I saw him briefly on TV, and I was like, this? Yeah. That's why he was on the radio.
Yes.
First of all. Yes. And then I watched some of what he was doing, and I was like, all right, next. Moving on.
Anyway, so this wasn't about Howard. I'm sorry, Howard.
He doesn't know we exist. That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of stuff out there. I mean, you've got really a lot of different stuff, but it's all adult, and the sex ed part is always for adults. And then you have Lacey Green, who does a thing for teens, which is really great. But nobody is talking to parents except, drum roll.
You?
Fundamentalist Christians.
Oh, you got to get out there.
Yeah. Oh, God. I was like, when I listened to that stuff, I was like,
so are they telling people to warn their children about, like, onanism, for example?
Right.
Which is one of my favorite isms ever when I found out about that.
Terms.
I didn't know about that until I got to Catholic school. Because in my community, like, beating off is something you, like, snicker about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not, there's not a shame to it. It's like, hee hee.
Yeah.
You know?
We were taught only guys do it. And it's bad because they'll grow hair on their
That's right, hairy
That's
bones.
Right.
Oh, they'll go blind.
Yeah. They'll go blind.
And I was always, when I first heard this at Catholic school, I'm like, well, why aren't you all blind with hairy palms? Because you clearly have been whipping it away, Brad.
Completely. And during this whole time, we're rubbing it off against the pillow.
Like everybody else. Without blindness and without the hand sing.
Well,
so there's fundamentalist Christians are out there. Did you listen to the podcasts?
I listened to the beginning of one, and it was really scary.
Okay.
I mean, basically, they're telling their kid, they're saying the only thing you can tell your kids is abstinence. It has to be abstinence. And then they
until you get married?
Yeah.
Until you get married, and then it's for procreation.
So there's no...
Well, the one I didn't listen to wasn't that bad.
Okay.
They were like, get wild after you get married.
And they were against masturbation and touching anything part of the body. And they just basically were like, you have to encourage and keep them occupied. That was the other thing. Don't let them be alone.
With their penis.
Keep them.
That's going to be tough. Don't let her be alone with her breasts. The moment she's alone.
The moment she's alone. So it was extremely horrible. And it was basically about not letting your kids ever be by themselves.
That's terrifying.
A large part of it because you cannot trust them to not get into trouble, quote unquote,
with their own genitals.
And not just with their own genitals, but like with other kids.
Okay.
That was the whole idea, is like they're, you know, and then that you have to impress on them that it is a sin and that they're going to go to hell. And it was, I have to admit, it was a little bit scary. Like, I didn't want to masturbate after listening.
You're an onanist. Confirmed onanist.
I was confirmed onanist for about 37 seconds after the podcast was over. So,
That's scary.
It's very scary.
Can you imagine as a kid, you're like, I just want to read a book. No.
No. What are you doing in there?
Yeah, what are you doing? That's what that is. What are you doing in there?
Come out in the family room.
Yes. If you're reading in there, you can read out here.
Yeah, you can read out here. Leave people alone. All these poor kids.
So it's a tough one. So I...
These are the ones who end up in cars. That's who was fucking in cars when I was a kid.
And because no
they couldn't be alone.
Ever has had good sex in a car.
I disagree. I'm a very short person.
You're very small. You're the exception that makes the rule.
You know, a Corolla station wagon is fine if you're 5 feet tall.
Oh,
it's fine.
I'm so jealous.
Rebecca and Katie are normal sized people. So, a little bit different.
So, I realized that there needs to be a podcast out there for parents, because it's really hard. It's really, really hard as a parent. A lot of parents think, especially if they have boys, that they don't need to talk to their kids. All they have to do is say, here's some condoms. Whereas, unfortunately, sex is not just safe sex, and it certainly is not just condoms. So I think that, you know, there needs to be a podcast.
Hey, You Know It is a free podcast, free of charge, FOC.
Free as a bird, free falling even. Well, it's free for listeners.
We put a lot of hard work into this.
Editing and online hosting is frankly thirsty work. It gets pretty dry in this studio, and you know we love a tasteful white wine. If you like our style, consider buying a gal a drink. We've added a PayPal donation button to heyyouknowit.com so you can show us some love with a one-time or recurring donation to cover a little something from the vine.
For $5, you'll be hooking us up with a happy hour glass of tasteful white wine, a 4-ounce pour. For a 10 spot, we can split a bottle of wine from the Bodega across the street. For $15, we can kick it with a jug, because who are we kidding? For $25, you'll be making our dreams come true with a box of tasteful white wine concealed with a Mylar skin. Box of wine.
Cool. What's the title of your podcast? Are you working on something?
That's why I brought notes.
So people vote.
Yes.
We're going to vote.
We could do this democratically
now. I have a lot of different brainstorming options. I was hoping you guys would help me out.
All right, let's hear it.
So I was thinking we could do a play on the birds and the bees. So something, it would be like Hitchcock's The Birds and the Bees.
I like that one. As she was saying it, it kind of...
It was better as I wrote it.
Yeah, maybe it's more of a visual.
Here, this is a good one. It's a rhyme. The birds and the bees, don't let your kid catch STDs.
That sounds like something from our childhood.
Yeah.
You know, the more you know.
Yeah, right.
This one's quite normal. The birds, the bees, your kids having the talk, and the talk would be in capitals.
Okay, that's the sex talk?
Yeah, I guess the sex talk.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever got that one. My mom, I think, left out several tomes on sexuality that she had when she was in college and kind of left those out. And I did read them, and I was like, this sounds like a lot of it was like, I remember, it was a green book, and it said, human sexuality. It was like 600 pages.
Man.
I think I read a little bit. I was like, screw it.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, forget it. Like, I'm not having sex.
My mom had Our Bodies Ourselves.
Okay.
Of course, which I flicked through just to see the pictures.
Yeah, good pictures.
Of a guy eating a woman's vagina, and she just is kind of standing there stroking his hair very calmly. And I was like, that looks so boring.
Yeah. Looks like nobody's having fun.
What I like too is the diagrams where they show you like a cross section of the penis. You're like, no.
I know.
What is like, all this stuff?
Those pictures, it always reminds me, the music in the background is probably like an acoustic guitar being strummed, like ding, 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 you know.
Not Spanish, just a gentle, someone who knows two notes.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yes. And I feel like there's like a soft haze
yes.
around the room. Everyone's just past the role.
And the smell of vanilla candles.
Yeah, like something very like gentle.
Oh, God, but that picture, I mean, little did I know how exciting that could be.
Yeah, well, they don't, that's not what the picture is about.
No, it's not.
Right? That's an interesting, I wonder how many people of our generation saw that picture. Uh-huh. Like, it's kind of like a thing. I just remember seeing the cross sections of things and being like, ah! Yeah. Like a diagram of a breast from the end. They're like, oh my God, really? Is this what's going to happen to me? No. This looks terrible.
That is,
it's
terrible.
Like a whole city.
Yeah. There was like some kind of pamphlet from the 50s called Mother's Helper or something that my mom left in like the drawer in the bathroom. And it was like.
Casually?
Cash. And I was like, what?
Where did this come from?
It was just like really 50s style talking about sex. I was like, that's not for me.
Mother's Helper.
Yeah. And then there was.
Where'd she get it from? Had she saved it from when she.
Oh, God. I don't know where she got it from.
It's an heirloom.
It was gone. And then it was like,
and disappeared.
Yeah. Wow. Well, she tried. I mean, that was something.
Right, that was it.
She's probably like, I can't do this. Maybe this pamphlet will help.
Yeah. God.
My mom did these, like, sessions. I call them the sessions because that's how it felt. So, like, for
feel like it's 4:30.
Every
get
day
in here.
For, like, I don't know, a month and a half, as we would drive to school in the morning, she would just, like, give me so much information.
On the way to school?
On the way
How
to
could
school.
You think first period?
Yeah.
Your little head must have been reeling.
Yeah. I would just sit there and like, and I think that this helps is I would just so humiliated just staring out the window.
By yourself. Like humiliated. Because
yes,
you're a teen.
My mom is driving.
Only a teen could be totally humiliated. There's no one around
no
who
one
cares.
Around. Yeah. Yes, exactly. So
I can't believe this is happening to me.
I know. Ugh. God.
She's so uncool.
I know. Can I just walk to school myself?
Oh, it was amazing. She was scared shitless I was going to get pregnant young.
Yeah. Well, that was a thing.
Yeah.
You know, we were taught that we had to have condoms on us at all times.
Yeah.
None of us were having sex. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If we saw a penis, you'd throw a condom on it and run.
Yeah.
You know?
And
like,
run.
And the boys had condoms, so they didn't even know what to do with them.
They couldn't even use the
They had
thing.
Them for so long, there was like a ring on their wallet.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
They never
right.
used
the
it.
Impression
never
of the wallet.
Yeah, yeah, they were expired. But, yeah. You know, they were a danger.
They all ended up balloons anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
Every
they did end
them.
Up as balloons. That's
they
a good use
do.
For a condom when you're yeah. really young and not having sex.
That is a good use.
Water balloons.
Water
yeah.
balloon. Throwing them down.
Yeah.
All right, here's my next one.
Next
okay.
One. All right, so that's a pretty good one. We'll put a little thing by that. All right. Don't panic. Surviving your kid's sexuality.
Don't panic.
Don't panic.
Nobody yes. move. Nobody gets hurt.
That's
surviving your kid's sexuality.
Yes. I thought that was a pretty good one. That's a me one. So then, here's one. Then I started getting into that Christian thing, and I was like, holy cow. So I was like, sex ed, not a Christian show.
Well, too literal.
Yeah.
The thing with the podcast is you have to be careful, because once you pick the name, you can't change it.
Yeah.
And even
yeah.
if you try to, the people who are listening are going to call it, what is that, not a Christian show?
Not a yeah. Christian
did
show.
You listen to the latest episode of Not a Christian Show, Sex Ed?
Yeah, you can always have a, you know, your kind of your log line, you know,
yeah.
as a descriptor. Not a Christian show, that. But how about, what else do you have? What are the yeah. other ones?
Well, then
lay it
then,
on
then
us.
There was abstinence, mabstinence.
Hard to type. Abstinence, mabstinence. Oh, what about what you were saying earlier? I like the, you know, what are you doing in your room? A podcast
yeah.
about.
Oh, that's a good one.
And a podcast
oh,
about children's sexuality.
Or how about the buzz? Oh. Calling the birds and the bees.
Ooh, I like
then,
that.
You know. You know,
sell it.
I'm running out of gas.
The buzz. I like that.
Some,
the
birds and the bees.
Didn't I have something like this?
You do have something about the birds
yes.
and the bees.
No, but I have. Oh, chirping and buzzing. No, I like yours better. The
Katie cuts right to it.
Yeah.
The buzz. That's pretty awesome too. I like that.
Yeah.
So I think we can make a little mashup.
I vote for what are you doing in your room?
What are you doing in your room is very
yeah,
good.
Yeah, episode one, you gotta rip it off.
Like, you're gonna go blonde.
Yeah, that's not what shampoo is for.
And that's why you're going through so much shampoo so fast.
Yes.
Like, God damn it. So put the swab in the kids' bathroom.
Yeah, I'm kidding.
So I want to ask you about how did you get into the sex business?
Oh, gosh. So I was pregnant.
Okay. Well, that was the kickoff of it.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
What happened?
What happened here?
I was pregnant. It was the, let's see, it was like 2004.
Mm-hmm.
And
many moons ago.
Yeah, I was on maternity leave, and my job working in tech was just, it was horrible. It was right after the dot-com crash,
mm-hmm.
and everyone was up everybody else's ass at work. And it was just a horrible, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
And so I was like, I don't want to go back after maternity leave.
I hear this from a lot of women who are on maternity leave, but just anyone who leaves the job market for a little while, once you get out there, you're like, you know, work was kind of for chumps. Like, I like the money.
I like the money coming in.
Yeah, I like the money and the benefits, but I got to talk to these people, and then they want me there on a Wednesday, you know.
It was hell. So anyway, so I thought, what sells? Well, sex sells, obviously.
Yeah, sells itself.
The most famous alliteration you can get into. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, I'll start an erotic bookstore. Nobody has ever made any money selling books. Let's face it, it's like, forget about it.
So just at the same time when bookstores are closing down.
Yeah, exactly. You know? I had this great idea.
So brick and mortar.
Yeah.
Yeah. The way to go.
They're there.
So I...
it's going to be different, though.
No, my store was going to be different. It was going to revolutionize
it was going to change sex.
Store industry, right?
Yeah.
Well, if I had a penny for every time I've heard that since I got into this business. So I thought, I'll start a sex shop.
Okay.
Because all right.
At this time, there were no nice sex shops. They were all really gross. You had to go like four or five of you at a time to like protect
yourself.
This
was in Paris.
This was in Paris. Okay. And even in the States, there were a couple, but if you were outside of a big city, forget about
it. Right,
There's one near where I grew up on Pulaski Highway. It's called like Unicorn Bookstore. I just remember we used to drive past it all the time. And nothing else looked shady.
Yeah.
It looked shady. It was like a standalone porn shop in the middle of nowhere. But that was the only place people could go.
Well, often city zoning would not allow a lot of stores to be anywhere near anything else.
Yeah,
so
true,
they had
true.
To be out by the highway for the truckers.
Yeah.
That was like basically the deal. Well...
The highway for the truck.
I bet regular people, like non-truckers, went there as well.
Regular people, they don't want to be seen walking in.
Yeah. They want to park. It was one of these places, the parking's in the back.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know.
It has to always be in the back. Yeah. Some things never
No one can see your truck in front.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, that's Joe. Getting a blow-up doll.
That's right. I knew it.
Yeah.
I knew it. Exactly. That's totally small. I knew it. I knew he was having sex.
With a blow-up
doll. I knew it.
With a doll.
So, obviously, I mean, I did do some online stuff and things, you know, kind of snowballed. And then I ended up working in distribution for a manufacturer, launching their business in the States. Then I moved back to France. I started doing just consulting because I still had a strong business background. And my business was really B2B.
Mm-hmm.
So I was working more and more in that. And then, listen, once you're in the industry, it's like you try to get out and they keep pulling you back
in. Yeah, it's like every industry.
Amazing. Yeah, you cannot get out.
You can't get out. And you have expertise.
And you have expertise, and you know everybody. I have to say, honestly, this industry is very small.
Okay.
Knowing everyone is not hard.
I would not think that because there's so much of it.
Yes.
I mean, everything from, you know, films to clothing to books to funny bachelorette, bachelor party. You know, it's a huge... It's a lot of merchandise.
It is a lot of merchandise. Actually, just sex toys and lubricants alone is a $60 billion industry worldwide.
Get
out!
Wow. $60 billion.
But it's controlled, apparently, by the few people.
The elite.
Yeah, the elite.
Well, considering how huge the volume is, there's not that many players, to be honest. I mean, we're talking about, I don't know, less than 200.
Wow.
But... Whoa.
So China. There's someone out there who's like the Walmart of dildos.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Is
I'm
it China?
I'm not going to say who it is. Yeah. Oh, well, first of all, because then I'm going to get into some trouble.
Okay. Yeah. We can talk generalities.
Let's talk. Well, first of all, I'd say we're about 200, but now China has gotten into the game. So basically, everyone was going to have their dildos made in China.
Mm-hmm.
And then China was like, fuck this. And they started making them.
We'll do our own.
Yeah, we'll do our own.
We don't need your models.
Every time I turn around, there's like 17 different new dildo companies coming out, and they're all doing private labels. So now everybody and their brother is coming out with their own dildo.
Wow.
And Chinese manufacturing is
it's strong
the market.
Yeah. For everything else.
They will make anything.
Yep.
They will make anything.
Yep. Yeah.
And they have the capacity.
They have the capacity and the know-how.
They know dildos.
Their dildo game is very strong.
And I bet you there's some minister in China who's like, it is.
No.
And the term
it
is
strong.
You know,
no, because
machinery,
it's illegal. Dildos are illegal in China.
So what are they called? Yes. They're massagers. Personal massagers.
They're massagers.
Sorry, pardon. Personal massagers.
So dildos are illegal in China, but it is, you know, close to being one of their largest exports.
Really? Also, it's a lot of people.
Oh my God.
It's a lot. Even if they didn't export.
Yeah.
The, you know, I imagine there are as many frustrated people
in China
as there are anywhere in the
considering
world.
Considering that they have a huge disparity in men to women.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a huge problem.
Yeah.
It's a big problem. What is it? 5 to 1?
In some areas. But also, too, the women are becoming more empowered and getting more money. Maybe they want to go out and, you know, have a little fun without a dude.
Completely. Yeah. Well, and also there is a huge middle class and a growing upper class that is in China right now. And they have the money and the means to buy
extra stuff. That's fascinating.
They want sex stuff.
Huh.
You know? So our lube company is a high-end lube company. Well, we also do massage oils. Lube is, you know, we only have three lubes.
I just like the word lube. It's just a cool word.
It's a great word.
Yeah.
It makes me feel good.
Yeah, it sounds like fun. Lube.
Lube.
Yeah.
It's just great. Yeah.
It's the ooh.
It's the ooh
part. Sound. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's
put the ooh in lube.
Putting the ooh in lube?
Ooh.
Yeah, that's not bad, putting the ooh in lube.
I like it.
It's fun.
I like
the ooh.
It.
Yeah. Not the ew.
Yeah.
No, not the ooh.
That's lewd.
Putting the ew in lube.
Yes.
That's nice, too.
I like that.
Well, we're French, too, so we could say putting the ooh la la in lube.
There you are.
Lube la la.
Lube la la.
Lube la la.
Lube la la. Probably doesn't sound as good to French people as it does to us.
Yeah, but, you know, the Americans have totally taken over ooh la la anyway. So,
oh, really?
Yeah,
we're running it?
Yeah.
We're also going to take piece de resistance. Thank you.
Oh, totally.
Goodbye.
Yeah, I'm into it. And hors d'oeuvres.
And hors d'oeuvres. Or hors d'oeuvres, as I used to say as a child.
And I think also boutique is
done.
Now. Yes.
We've taken it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Vive la France.
Vive la France.
So you're in this industry, you're working, and then you came out of it.
I tried to come out, and I was doing film production for a while, as you do, you know, in New York when you don't have a steady paying job, and they came after me, and they offered me
the lube mob,
the lube people, and they were like,
they made you an offer you can't refuse.
Did you get home one day and try to open up the door and it was like slipped out of your hand? Like, someone's been here?
And there was a huge vat of lube in my living room.
Yes. You're like, I think they got me.
I think they got me. No, they said, Rebecca, we have a 401k, and I was like, I'm in.
I'm ready. I'm back in lube.
Let's do it. So actually, I like it because before I was in sex toys, and now I'm in lube, and I like the lube game better.
It's better.
Yeah.
Is your lube game strong?
My lube game is strong.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So we want to thank you for coming in.
Yes,
there's a lot
so
of information.
It was really great.
Pleasure.
Yeah,
I mean, it went by like in a blink.
I feel like
it
we got an
really
education.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
That's
my whole pièce de résistance.
That's right.
My raison d'être.
Yeah, we have pièce de résistance.
Yes.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Ooh.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks.